through the book of Revelation. Isn't that book of James good stuff? It's hard stuff, but it looks like I'm pulling everybody's teeth when I'm trying to pull everybody's teeth when I'm preaching it. I'll tell you what, but I'm just telling you. I appreciate the people that come because Christians don't want to hear that stuff today. They just, they've got other things going on in their mind and they want to live their life the way they want to live it, that thing is promoted all over the world, all over the country in Christianity, of live the way you want to, appreciate the ones that were here. So, all right, Revelation chapter 6, and starting out a new chapter there, and so let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick, all right? Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and grace towards us. We just appreciate the ones that were here this morning and seemed like a good spirit in church today, and we appreciate it. And thank you for your word that we're able to still preach it and teach it. And because it could be coming shortly that they're just gonna outlaw your book, and they've already outlawed you. And so we just pray that you'll just keep it, allowing us to be able to do it till you come back. And so we need your help tonight, and we really appreciate what you do for us, and thank you for it. In thy name we pray. Amen. So in verse 1 of chapter 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. The Lamb. Of course, you know who that Lamb is because there was only one that was worthy to open the book so that the seals could be opened. And that's a progression that things have to, that's the way they have to happen. The book has to be opened before judgment comes. Isn't that something? Do you know before that book does you any good, it's got to be opened? Right. Sitting on your counter all week long, that book does not do, I don't care if you got 10 King James. That book does not do you any good unless you open it. And when it does, then the Lamb can deal with you. And so anyway, it's just, I just thought of that when I thought of that. What a common sense thing that we'll take prophetically speaking, when the tribulation starts, nothing starts till that book is opened. And when the book is open, when the Lamb opens that book, then hang on. And that's what's happened. So that is Jesus Christ. You ever notice that people are always saying there's so much wickedness and wrong in the whole world that why don't he do something? He's going to. When he opens that book, when the Lamb opens that book, things are going to happen that they're not going to want it to happen. And when he does, these same people will not be able to conceive such terror. This book shows how God is going to do it, and he makes it very plain in the book of Revelation. You don't have to guess about what he's going to do. needs to be a little clearer. No, it doesn't. It's very clear what he's going to do. And so verse 1 says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying..." Now remember, that was the four beasts was back in chapter 4 and 5. "Come and see." And so he's saying, you ever wonder why this book scares people so bad that they won't read it? I mean, really. I've had Baptist preachers say, "Oh no, I don't teach. There's three books they won't teach. Revelation, Zechariah, or Daniel." And I'm saying, why? "You can't understand them." I said, "No, that's the problem. You understand them fine. Now, the book of Zechariah is a little, iffy there, but man, no, but they scare people to death, and they won't teach it, and shows you, you know why? This thing shows you who's still and who's going to be totally in control of everything. It's the Lamb. They can pass it off about him being in control right now, because he's not. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in control. He's in control of things of heaven, and he wants to be in control of our hearts and souls, but he's not most of the time. You know that. We live to self. And he's definitely not in control of this world, because that belongs to the God of this world in Corinthians chapter 4, Satan. But he's going to be. He's going to be. And you know, something else people are scared of. A lot of people. I love it. Thunder. And I think it's kind of more of a woman thing. Really? When my wife, we first moved out here, back out in the east part of Montana, I don't care where she'd at, she'd come running. She wanted to get close to people are scared of thunder too. That's what it's going to do. The noise of the thunder. Now, I don't think it's going to be a little thunder bumper. I mean, it's probably going to be, it's going to shake the world when it thunders, but it'll probably be pretty frightening. Now let's read some verses here. So in verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, you ever, in the old westerns, the good guys always wore the white hat, and they rode the white horse, man. I mean, that's just the way it was. You could distinguish the good from the bad. And the villains always had these big old curly mustache and a black, and you know, and so when we're reading through this on the look, just kind of remind that. So in verse 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and conquering. Now notice that it was given to him. Okay. John 19 says, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So this rider on this white horse had to be given his power, which showing you that it's not Jesus Christ, because he is the one that's giving the power. You go read your commentaries on it, and they messed that thing all up big right off the bat. And I said that, and you had, well, this must be a good guy. No, because Christ is the one that gives the power, and this one is receiving power, okay? Now look at verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. That's nice of them. That sounds like a bunch of Baptists. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now notice that. Notice that power was given him, again, to this one also. But look what it's given for. It's given to kill one another. Okay? And now notice, he takes peace in that verse. He takes peace. Now, if he's taking peace, that means he is bringing war. Okay? And shedding blood is given to the rider from God. And so now look at verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And this is where it's amazing how many Christians think, No, you can't know for sure if you're going to heaven because God's going to weigh a balance. And really? No. So he's given power. This black horse represents famine. And we'll know from later on there'll be a great famine that will be in the land. And if you go read, what is it, in Ecclesiastes? I know Lamentations talks about it, that when people are starving to death, doesn't matter what color they are, they turn dark, their skin turns dark from starvation. And that black represents famine. And so then verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, who is that? It's Christ, because he was in the midst of the four beasts in the last chapter, in chapter 6, talking. What's he talking about here? Inflation. A person will work all day for just a penny or for a loaf of bread. That is how bad inflation will be during the tribulation period. Now look what it says in verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. Now that is Jesus Christ talking. Because remember over in the last chapter, that's where he's at with the four beasts. The four beasts have been talking, and Christ is talking to the four beasts. A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So they're given commandments to do that, not to hurt that. So again, what's he talking about? Inflation that will take place. So that you'll work all day long just for a loaf of bread or for a penny. Over in Matthew 20, verse 2, it says, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, remember, he sent them into the vineyard. That doctrinally over there is talking about during the tribulation period. Of course, the book of Matthew is a tribulation book, right? Okay. So in verse 6 there, he says, hurt not. Now, who is saying that? The one that is in the midst of the beast, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, again, is showing who is in total control of everything because he commands not to hurt something. He sets boundaries on how far they can go. Just like God puts boundaries, Jesus Christ puts boundaries on what Satan can do to us. We know that because you go look at Job. He said you can do this and this and this, but can't do that. And then where you remember where it says be scared of him that you don't have to worry about the him that can kill body, but worry about who's that? Well, Satan can be allowed to kill your body, but who takes the body and the soul? Only God can do that. And so again, this is showing that if he's in control, total control of everything that's going on during the tribulation, when the Antichrist is let loose, basically he is allowing, and it's not that Christ is in control of everything, but he's protecting us. He is in control. He wants to be total control of us. Why? That's the only protection a Christian has. From what? From the elements of the world. And so we need to understand. So there it is. And then in verse 7, he says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, come and see. And verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed him. And power was given unto him, to them, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. So notice that a pale horse, which is a picture of death. Someone that is very sick, nigh unto death, or a dead person, are pale looking. We have a red horse, which is war, because he comes to take peace. The black horse has to do with famine, and the pale horse has to do with death. And the means by which he brings death is from pestilence and diseases. Has that started yet? Yeah, in a sense it has. It sure has. So and then verse 8, and I looked and behold a pale horse, and so we see that. Now remember, death and hell followed. There are two riders on this horse, because you have to die before you can go to hell. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Death claims the body. That's why, what is it in 1 Corinthians 15? Oh, death, where, see, he doesn't claim our body. We're delivered from that thing. And so, again, there's two riders here. Death claims the body, and hell claims the soul for these people. But Jesus Christ has the keys to death and hell. Back over to Revelation 1, verse 18, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Revelation 1:18. And so, that thing shows what's going on there. A strange thing about two riders riding on this horse. Now, let's go back up to verse 1 and kind of go through it. So we got a bow. Now, what's your first thought? A bow you shoot. It's not a bow you shoot. But now most will ask, but doesn't he have any arrows? No. But I don't think that this is not a bow like you shoot. Instead, I think this is the bow as a rainbow. Why? Well, because that is what Christ has. Look at chapter 4 and look at verse 3. And he that's, remember, the rapture takes place, and what do we see? Verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like as a jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. So this bow is a rainbow that he has there, okay? And why? Because that's what Christ had. Now, in verse 2, he says, go back to Revelation 6, verse 2, so he has a bow. Verse 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, he has a crown. Now listen to this. This guy only has one crown. Okay? Now, what did he come for? If the second horse rider comes to take peace and bring war, that means that the first horse rider brought peace. Now, who brings peace during the tribulation? The Antichrist does. You got to let Scripture interpret Scripture here, or you'll get Christ and the Antichrist all mixed up here. So why do you see in the connection when someone is always demanding peace, and there's a rainbow? Antichrist uses that same deal, okay? And so now. So this writer here in verse 2 is the Antichrist. And according to Daniel, in the tribulation, he will deceive the whole world by peace and flattery and good words and fair speech. But now I want you to look at the difference between the two writers. Look at chapter 19 of Revelation. Now, it's white horse and everything, but look at this. Chapter 19, and of course, if you know what's going on there, this is Jesus Christ. Now again, we want to look at the difference between these two horses and the two horse riders, okay? And so look at chapter 19 and look at verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Now notice, this is Jesus Christ. And notice, he makes war. He doesn't bring war. He instigates it. He makes war. The first rider over there brings in peace, and the second rider on the red horse makes war. But this one, and so look at verse 11 and verse 12, or verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and the white horse, and verse 12, his eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns. Now notice, here, see, this other guy over there had one crown. This here, Christ has many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. So we're comparing that many crowns. And then if you go ahead and read verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So that here it's the armies with white horses. Over there, the ones that follow him was red horse, a black horse, a pale horse, not white. See? So that shows you who that's talking about over there and who it's not. So and over in Revelation 19, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, of course, is talking about Christ comes at the end of the tribulation, while the Antichrist comes sometimes in the right about the first, in about the middle, just a little before. Okay? About 3.5 years difference. And so we see it. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 6. So verse 1, what follows this rider, the horse here, the white horse, who follows that? Well, death, famine, pestilence, and destruction. The things that follow the rider in chapter 19 that we just looked at are millions of saints in paradise, okay? So you have any idea how many people think and are taught that the writer here in chapter 6 and verse 1 is Jesus Christ? He's not. There's a whole lot of them. Well, and then there's a church that says in the Bible that this is a reference to the church. Catholicism teaches that. Yeah. That this whole thing is a reference to the church. And you understand how many other churches of her whelps teach that same thing. You're Lutheran, you're Presbyterian, a lot of Presbyterian, you're Episcopalians. Yeah. So it's not referring to us, okay? And this same lady that we read about in Revelation 17 has a school called Notre Dame, right? Means Our Lady. And they have a football team. Oh, what's the name of that football team? The Four Horsemen. Do you know that? They sure do. Where do they take that from? Right here. That's been for 100 years. Notre Dame's is called the Four Horsemen. Right there. So anyway, all right. So again, in verse 1 and 2, this first rider can't be Christ because Christ is the one that is opening the seals to loose or to set free these riders. Okay. Verse 3 and 4, it talks, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given him that set on him to take peace from the earth. So whatever is about to take place is over the whole earth, okay? Not just America or Russia. It's going on all over the earth. it's worldwide. So again, in verse 1 and 2, so this first rider is a counterfeit of the real Christ. Look at Daniel. Hold your place here. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Jason is teaching Daniel in Sunday school and just finished chapter 2. And so he'll be using the book of Revelation a lot, and I'll be using the book of Daniel a lot. But look at Daniel chapter 9. Remember, we're talking about a counterfeit over Jesus Christ. And chapter 9 of Daniel, look at verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now, that Messiah, we know that's prophesying about Christ, okay? But not for himself, and the people of the prince. Oh, well, who's that? That's the Antichrist. You ought to circle that thing. And for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come, see, shall destroy the city. What city? Jerusalem. That's the only main city, and that is the capital. Now, look up here again. Do you understand just what happened when Trump made Jerusalem the capital? That is biblical, historical prophecy. It's not only the capital of Israel, it's the capital of the world. Okay? And so, and you got to see that. So anyway, this prince is the Antichrist, shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So notice there, this is telling you that after the death of Christ, someone else will come. Well, you know what you have right there in verse 26? You have a comma, or you have a colon, over a 2,000-year gap. So when somebody tells you there's no gaps in the Bible, right there's one. When did Christ get cut off? On the cross. Well, when's the prince come? He hasn't come. It's over a 2,000-year gap. So these yard birds that say, well, no gaps in the Bible. Really? Right there's one. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end shall be with a flood. And so we see that thing there. And verse 27. Now notice that this prince is going to make a covenant. Okay? He is going, not, this prince is the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is going to make a covenant. You know, with one, who's he going to make a covenant with? The Roman Church. And then he's going to make a covenant with Israel. Yeah. You'll get into that in Daniel. And so, but he's going to make a covenant. Now, when you confirm a covenant, is that war or peace? Peace. Generally, it's to get along when you make an agreement, okay? This covenant of peace will be for a week of years, which is 7 years. Okay, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, and we know that week is 7 years, so if you want to put right there, and in the midst of the week, write down 3.5 years, because what's half of seven? 3.5 years. The tribulation is 7 years. So right in the middle of this thing is when this prince shows up, and he's going to make a covenant with Rome. he's going to make a covenant with Israel, and how's he going to do it? And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out the desolate. So the world is looking for someone, and boy, they're looking real hard right now, for someone that has the answers. Well, an answer to what? An immigration problem. Do you understand what's going on right now? There will be no immigration problem when the Antichrist shows up, because there won't be any borders. Yeah, we won't be here. But he's going to come in, and he's going to bring peace over the whole world. Okay, during that time. But I want you to see what this is talking about here in the context. They think peace and love at any cost is the answer. Look at Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. Look at verse 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes. He's going to raise our taxes. There's going to be inflation. They're going to raise taxes. You'll work all day for a penny or for a loaf of bread. The taxes are going. So then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle, and in his estate. Now this is probably some Democrat leader of the world that precedes the Antichrist, because they're always wanting to raise taxes, okay? Verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in, there it is, peaceably, and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. He'll do away with all the borders. He'll do away with everything else. He'll make a pact with Rome. He'll even make a pact with Israel. He's going to betray them, but he'll make a pact with, and there will be peace on all the earth. Okay? Now, but look at verse 21. If you look at that, now notice what he does. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably. You know who that is? There's your white horse rider over in Revelation 6. You see connection? That's the same one over in Revelation 6 that Daniel's talking about. He conquers, but not with war. It's by good words and flatteries. Now, look at verse 22. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from him before him, and shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant. Verse 23. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. Now notice this. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest place of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil the riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices. You know what that is? Policies. That's exact. He's going to put down policies, make rules and regulations and policies that will be over the whole world. And it's forecasting. Another word for that is also divining. And telling the future. Did you know that's what Hitler did? I mean, you just go ahead and read. Look at, jump over to look at verse 25. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against. He's gonna bewitch him. The Antichrist will bewitch him, put a curse on him. Yeah, and they won't have a clue what's going on. And so back up to Daniel chapter 8. Just look at something else that's going on. Daniel chapter 8. And look at verse 23. 8:23. And in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. What? He's telling the future. He's bewitching everybody. He's putting curses on everybody. Who's this? The prince, the Antichrist. This chapter 8, verse 23. Now notice he destroys wonderfully. How do you do that? Did you ever hear of somebody, well, they can just skin them alive and they stand there and smile while they're doing it? They cut their throat, but they don't know why. He's smiling all the time and flattery and making them feel good and destroying them at the same time. Verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. That's the Jews. He hates the Jews with a passion. 25, and through his policies. You know what? They're already making policies against Israel and everything. That's his foreign policies here. And through his policies, and his craft, witchery, all right, to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. It's all done by peace. So now come back over to Revelation and notice there that what's going on there. Again, look, chapter, you got this guy that, look at verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and that there was given unto him a great sword. Man, that's exactly over in Daniel chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, okay? That's what's going on. So anyway, all right, that's all I got. Any comments? Yeah.
And it shows it right there in Daniel chapter 11.
Yep.
And when you compare that with Revelation chapter 6, it's a rainbow.
Yeah, and when you see a peace sign today, what do you always see over it? A rainbow. Shannon? Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Well, and not only to go along with that, in what is chapter 11, where it tells that the Antichrist is a Sodomite? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yes. Oh, man. Oh, man, is it a hate crime? Yeah. So, anything else? Yeah, we're just getting into the nitty-gritty, but I think the more I study the book of Revelation and Daniel right now, I realize how much we are right there at it, man. We are in this thing, and all it's going to do is take the rapture to just bring it about. And everything is festering. And I'm telling you, this thing over immigration is going to bring a you watch it. Christians need to, they better get their head screwed on straight about, oh, it's the children down there. Let me ask you a question. What happens when somebody breaks the law, a man and woman breaks the law in the United States? What's the first thing they do? They take their children and put them in a foster home. And this is all news media generated. Obama was doing that. Bush was doing that. But the news media went down there, and this whole thing is staged. And Christians are being hoodwinked into believing this thing. Oh, and Maxine Waters says today, I was sitting back here before everybody come in, and I was looking, and God is for us. That's predicted. They're doing this thing in the name of God. And Nancy Pelosi, that's had more facelifts than you can, I mean, she has to take off her head hat to go to the bathroom just about. but they think it's God. And you know what she is? Both of them. Die-hard Catholics. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The four horsemen were, I just looked it up when you did that. The four horsemen in the 1920s, Notre Dame, their four horsemen, they were backfielders. They were
yep. They were the backfield, and they were.
And I guess, yeah, they were called the four horsemen.
Yep. Because they ran over everybody. They were that big and that mean. They really was, and that thing still is today, and so. But I'm telling you, we are drawing so close to this thing of what's going on in our country right now, and the sad part of it, the Christians are being hoodwinked by this thing, because it's the children. I was talking to a woman the other day, born again, said, "Yeah, but don't you feel sorry?" Sure, I feel sorry for the children. But why in the world are they? Look what the MS-13 are doing to them down there. Let them, man. They have more rights than we do. Cause you do something wrong, first thing they do, they'll take your kids. And so anyway, it's just we're there, folks. And the more I'm studying this thing and. We're only in chapter 6, and of what's going on just every day. I'm saying, wow, man.
That's like Daniel preaching Daniel, man. It is right down to where we're living.
Yep. So, anyway, anything else? It's coming, folks.